Welcome to the Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Lenderman.
Hi, everyone. My name is Elke, and welcome to the Voice of Experience. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, the notorious Max. Hey, Max.
Hey, Elke. Bo, bo, bo. I don't know if I yet deserve the moniker of notorious, but for this episode, I'll take it. I'll definitely take it.
You do, my friend. How was your fourth?
My fourth was great. It was a whole lot of nothing and then a whole lot of Wu-Tang. I went to see Wu-Tang on the fourth. It was amazing.
With your friends, fam combination?
I went with my brother-in-law, who is an Aurora City police officer, which was, it's another episode. We need another episode
for me to
discuss
this. We need to talk about
this. Yeah, we did.
Oh, God. Well, I'm very, very jealous. That sounds like an amazing time.
What did you do? What happened?
Max, we ate all the things and too much of it. It was just... I'm no Joey Chestnut, but it got close.
You gave Joey a run for his money.
I'm still sweating. Yeah, for sure. But it was great. Thank you. I'm excited about our conversation today, which is a bit of a hangover topic from your recent trip to the Cannes Lions Festival.
Yep.
And I think it's fair to say you've got some beef, my friend. So let's get into it.
I got a little beef. I got, you know, a tiny beef. Look, I think Cannes was bought for like $1 billion by an international consortium. So I don't want to piss too many people off, but there's a little bit of friction going on.
Okay. Yeah. So I appreciate the fact that this was a couple weeks ago now, but you shared with me an open letter written by Shelley Elkins at NVE regarding a big miss at Cannes. And I also know you shared a very similar sentiment when you and I were talking about the festival this year. So I'll try to just summarize. Shelley's letter is a very passionate call from experiential marketers to the Cannes Lions Festival, urging it to better recognize and respect the brand experience and activation category. Is that fair?
It's exactly right. And pointing out to, you know, some inconsistencies to their stated intentions of bringing this industry, bringing our point of view on marketing and advertising more so to the fore, and yet, to Shelley's point, kind of failing at it.
Yeah, we got some tea. So despite being introduced in 2018, this category that we sit in, it's the brand experience and activation category, it's very poorly defined. And the current definition is too broad and often misapplied. And you kind of, it's like if you don't laugh, we'd probably sit here and cry. But many of the winning entries lacked real world interaction, undermining like the core of this category.
Yeah, so, and to the further injury to that is the entire festival is experiential to its core. Like,
yes.
You know, like Stagwell Beach and Amazon Port and all the hospitality and transportation and logistics and the yachts and the parties. And
yeah.
The irony.
Like,
the irony is the entire infrastructure of Cannes is predicated on IRL, real life conversations, transactions, relationships.
Yeah, this is wild.
And the category just seems to not get that.
Yeah. So do you think this is a reflection of Cannes Lions, like, failing to keep up with the evolution of marketing? Like, what is this?
I think it's a failure to understand the category itself, and probably what it leads to is a misunderstanding of the consumer, right, of the audience itself and what the audience is expecting from marketing and advertising, right? So, and it's no secret to point out that Cannes is
potato.
it's really, and it builds itself as a festival of creativity, right? So, and it's, the judges are fellow agency creatives, you know, sometimes founders, agency founders, et cetera. And so I think there's a little bit of a disconnect of what is actually being celebrated and valued by audiences. Like, you know, for instance, there was nothing about there was a real preponderance of media, a real preponderance of URL, like metaversal things, right? Like obviously AI things, but there was never like the focus point on human experiences, right? It was the focus was on the creative campaign.
Yeah.
And so when you sort of take the eye off the ball and start thinking about our industry just from a creative perspective, you start missing the real juice of what makes this industry awesome.
Yeah. And I think we both agree with Shelley that the talent behind the work is also overlooked. And most likely this is because juries for this category often lack people from experiential agencies, which can lead to real misjudgment of the craft and the complexity involved in creating these experiences. I mean, think about this. Would CAN ever allow the film lions to be judged by people who've never made a film?
Wow. Touche.
Right? Yeah,
they wouldn't, right? And as Shelley rightly points out in her open letter, not a single person on that jury, you know, came or had provenance from the Jack Mortons, the Momentums, the GMRs, the George P. Johnsons, the Imaginations, the Impacts, et cetera. It really is. And you could tell by also, quite frankly, just how many entries were in our category, right? Like it was almost like a catch-all, like that if it had some sort of IRL thing, like, you know, like a launch party or like some sort of like, you know, like out of home interactive thing that occurred, then it was just in this category. And again, it just kind of like misses the juice of where we operate. And that's like delighting people, right? And creating these moments of belonging or connection or release or learning, right? And again, like everything that is germane and apropos to CAN as a construct, as the 5 days on that beach, the CAN itself seems to not celebrate.
Yeah. I mean, do you think this like lack of recognition for experiential work is a symptom of like deeper bias towards traditional media?
I think it's a function of probably where the money is, right? And I think one of the bigger eye-openers, you know, for us it was less of an eye-opener, but I think for the folks at CAN, the biggest eye-opener, and this is in all the recaps and on the LinkedIn post, is this understanding of the power of live moments, right? And both what can occur at the Super Bowl, what can occur at the Grammys, what can occur at the World Cup, what can occur at, you know, a lot of fan-centric experiences or fan-centric kind of like ecosystems, a lot of creativity was noticeably emanating from those ecosystems. And so I think the industry is waking up to the notion of like, oh, wow, there's a lot of energy and there's a lot of kind of like interest in the live space. And I think media dollars are moving there, right? Sponsorship fees are going through the roof. Naming rights are going through the roof.
Yeah.
Like athletes are getting into the business of creation. And so there's this, I don't know, there is a little bit of a gravitational pull that is occurring for live experiences, live moments, if you will.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like advertisement or executives would lump like live commerce or streaming commerce into that live bucket. But really, there was a palpable kind of like head nod to that notion of like, hey, a lot of really cool creative things can happen in the live moment.
Yeah. I think moments is a huge point that you're making. And I think, you know, not just based on our opinion, but what we're seeing, where we're seeing dollars migrate. By the way, experiential marketing spend is going to top $43 billion in the US alone this year. I think we would argue that the future of marketing will become more about moments than messages, right?
Another headline, and you dropped the mic on that. I don't know how to better say it than that, because there is also like what you see is, you know, normally like back in the day, we would like map out like the consumer journey, right? Or like whether it's a product or an experience or a service, and really start talking about that experience holistically, and where I see a lot of creativity and where Can was like focusing in on is actual specific moments of that journey that creates points of differentiation or creates points of tension where creativity can kind of like solve and unlock. And so it's even the moments on the CX journey that's now becoming a lot more germane to really interesting kind of creative ideas and a way to communicate that moment, not to your exact point, not through like necessarily messaging, but the experience of that moment amplified.
Yeah. 1,000%. Yes. So you mentioned creativity a couple of times. You know, creativity in this category is under awarded, and groundbreaking work. You know, you mentioned some things there that were experiences that were curated by the festival, but even things like South by Southwest World is often recognized in unrelated categories. It makes me almost giggle, and it shouldn't, recognize in unrelated categories, right? Which dilutes the value and the visibility of experiential marketing.
100%. It goes the other way. Like the Grand X winner, or is it the Grand Prix winner? In our category, the brand experience and activation category, was work called Caption with Intention. And it's amazing work. It's all about reimagining closed captioning in film for, you know, the hearing impaired.
That amazing.
Gives it more emotion, right? Like whether through typography, whether through motion graphics, etc. Amazing idea. But just because it happens in the movie theater does not make it experiential, right? And so like... Great idea, completely misaligned and miscategorized as brand experience and activation. And so the conveyor belt of really great ideas at Cannes, we're talking about at Cannes, the conveyor belt of really great ideas and the numbers game that's played at Cannes in terms of getting that idea into the categories that gives it a shot, right? Again, brand experience and activation becomes that catch-all. The converse is in our own industry and, you know, the awards and the accolades that we give ourselves rarely are awarded the really big, sexy idea. It's a lot of times is awarded on the executional element of it, right? The ambition
yes.
on the making it happen rather than the ambition of the creative idea itself, like the insight around it.
Man,
yeah,
that is such a big point, Max. You know, as we're talking about sort of things being undervalued, and it, you know, this isn't, it's like a comparing an apple to a VW bus, you know, the kind of creativity that it takes to imagine and build a world versus an ad. It's just a completely different skill set.
100%. And it's a complete, and again, it's like you missed the audience when
I was just going to bring that up.
Ad,
yes.
Right. Like you miss the audience when it's just an ad, you miss the audience. And you know, every creative director is going to punch me in the face when I say that, when you miss the audience, but it's really you're in advertising and traditional advertising at this point in the way that media is bought and how we're targeted and retargeted and cookied and all that. That really, you're not really thinking about the audience. You're thinking about the message and the brand, and you're thinking about some sort of CTA, right? Like some sort of reaction. Whereas when you create experiences, you are thinking about the ability to transform someone,
mm-hmm.
right? Not the ability to make someone act on impulse, or perhaps, you know, after inundating them with the same messaging, can create some sort of unaided recall. But like at every single time, you, from an experiential standpoint, you are elevating the human being, an individual human being's day-to-day existence. And if you do a terrible job, like, you know, they can ignore an ad, but they can't ignore a terrible experience.
Yeah.
And so you have to work, I hate to say it, but you have to work so much harder.
Harder.
In order to make that idea come to life faithfully, authentically, realistically, contextually, et cetera. And so, like, we always have to give ourselves the, you know, the pat on the back and the permission to laud ourselves on the execution. But I think we've over-indexed on it,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think the execution needs to be married with delight and transformation and awe. And if we can marry those two, then we really, really can dominate that brand experience and activation category and, you know, basically crowd everyone out because they understand that this is a category that is not like any other.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I'm completely picking up what you're putting down. You know, I think related to that, you know, one of the criticisms that we face is the perceived lack of being able to properly measure the impact of an experience versus a campaign. Now, I would argue that the methodology used to measure campaigns is flawed, but that's not our conversation for today. But I think you hit on something really important, which is the impact that our work has on the audience and the way that it can influence behaviors in a deeper way. You know, it is another one of these things that's sort of overlooked, undervalued, misunderstood, right?
It's, you know, if advertising is transactional, then experiential is relational, right? And
I think
you just, the measurement of transaction, which has, you know, been the primary KPI driver, right? Because everything sort of trickles down to that.
Yeah.
You know, I think the relational metric is different, right? And not to say that it's doesn't have any kind of like hard KPIs to it. I think it just has a longer tail. And I think it has, you know, a much kind of like wider, scattered kind of, I know the ability to create serendipity with a brand is so much more interesting and experiential than the ability to deliver a message with advertising. And I think like more and more people, like not just consumers, just people are much more open and attuned to and aware to that serendipitous element of a brand showing up, delighting, awing, serving, et cetera, than the constant sort of like drumbeat of traditional advertising. And so if you kind of think of it, remodel it on through the audience perspective rather than through a media perspective, then you can start formulating KPIs that are a lot more authentic to experiential, because we can't really use the same KPIs for advertising and experiential.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. By the way, that is a nice little teaser for our upcoming episode where we're going to really dig into some of the deep things that contribute to the strongest memories from an experience perspective. So that's, I'm excited to get into that conversation with you next time. But anyway, Max, so you were there now and you experienced this firsthand. You share in Shelley's point of view, as do I, around this category. What do you think a truly experience first Cannes Lions looks like? What is that for you?
What a great question. I mean, I think there's been plenty of Cannes Lions that have been experience first, and it's just had a different moniker on it. This is, I guess what I would say is, my radar is attuned when it comes to experience first, is the insight is driven by a deep, deep, deep consumer/audience tension rather than an opportunity in culture. And that's not to say that like those two don't exist and can coexist. But I'm only talking in the context of the work that I saw at Cannes. And that is that there was to say that there's a little bit of an over index on the creative cutesiness, right? The gem, the preciousness of an idea, right? Versus it kind of like rubs up against an experience first marketing or experience first creative problem to solve, which is the preciousness of a human need.
Yeah.
Right. And so like,
that's so good.
When you kind of reformulate, and this is why I think a lot of Cannes work is also in the purpose space that seems to be like a little bit of shorthand. And you and I have discussed this, like the best way to win a Cannes is you have purpose plus experience plus some sort of like, you know, large scale megaphone media conduit, and you've won. And so I think as you see more and more work go into the purpose lens, so to speak, it is a little bit of a canary in a coal mine of experience first work winning as well.
Yeah.
So I'll be looking for that. It's always the preciousness of the human rather than the idea itself.
That is brilliant, my friend. I love that. I would be looking for that as well. So I think let's give a big shout out to Shelley. You know, her letter calls.
100.
I know, she, game changer. You know, her letter calls for that clear definition, expert juries, and then the proper recognition of the creativity and impact of brand experience work, especially as the industry shifts towards experience-led strategies. And we're seeing that over and over and over again. So to all of our experienced marketing brothers and sisters out there, we feel you, we see you, and we know you agree that it's high time for our category to be properly represented and respected.
Word.
Thanks for a very important discussion today, Max. I appreciate you.
Dude, this is so good. Thank this you so much, Lucky.
All right. Yeah. Till next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.